Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along. It's game day up in Stillwater. We'll talk about the game tonight between Oklahoma State and Central Michigan. Also, the backyard brawl of West Virginia and Pitt. Some amazing stuff going on at baseball we might hit at the end of the show with three guys specifically. Have you been watching Serena?
No, I haven't either. Quite honest with you, no,
I haven't either. That was all over social media last night with her possibly her last. Well, it is going to be her last trip to the U.S. Open.
Is it?
She says it is. Who knows? I mean, you had Tiger Woods in the stands, fist pumping like he had just won the Masters for Serena.
Was he wearing a red shirt? Because that would have been cool.
He did not have on a red shirt. He had his hat on backwards.
He did
that. I mean, he did that. I mean, the look on his face.
The old fist pump when he makes a.
You should see. Yeah. It's so. Anyway, that was. Cool. Twitter was ablaze last night.
Yeah, she's a legend. I get it.
Absolutely.
I get it.
So she wins. Just wondering how interested anybody out there is in that, or if it's something that's going to build as it gets further along in the tournament. Mentioned OSU back tonight. And then I promise we're going to wrap up what we learned about conference realignment. The news kept flowing yesterday.
It's been flowing for a year and a half.
But I mean, all of a sudden it's like it's ramped up.
Right.
And then last night, maybe we know why. Because not only did we have realignment talk, not only did we have like TV media rights talk, there was also a little caveat of the playoff expansion talk.
Okay, a little more of that.
A little more of that. Awesome. And I think these all have to do with each other and mainly that right there. And maybe that gives us a little window into when this all could happen. I will talk about that right off the show. And then as soon as we're done talking about it in this segment, we're not saying another word about it until something actually happens. No more speculation, no more reading the tea leaves. This is going to be it because, by God, the season starts tonight in the state of Oklahoma.
Let's talk about what actually happens between the sidelines.
Even though a lot of this is more interesting than a lot of the games.
Yeah, well, sometimes. You're right. And get ready because you're going to tune into some of those blowouts, and guess what you're going to hear to fill airtime?
Sure.
A lot of this talk.
And especially if Friday goes the way some people think it might. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us a couple of different ways, kadsam.com, or download the app. The Paragon app is free to download. It's got all kinds of goodies. Three radio stations, the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News is out right now. Go pick up your free copy of the Penny News at your favorite spot. Also, Big Elk TV and Paragon TV on air coming up on Friday with three different games. So it'll be the Elks on Big Elk TV, Merritt on Paragon TV, and we welcome the Hollis Tigers to Paragon TV for the first time as well. So you can check out all that high school football action. By the way, the Elks game time, I know we've been beating this over the head, but just in case you haven't heard, game time is now 7:30 as opposed to 7 o'clock. Down there in Bridge Creek. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check us out online, kadsam.com or iTunes. And if you go the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe because we will alert you when the new podcast has dropped. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Man, it's like we've gone from the desert to living in Seattle. It's like misty this morning.
Telling you.
Rained all those inches the other night. I mean, hello. I mowed the grass last night.
Are you for hire? Because I just can't find time to do my lawn. Can I get you out to my place? Because after all this, I mean, it needs it. It needs it.
There was a lot of places where I had to really slow down.
Yeah.
So that it cut it all. as I drove across it.
We're running out of daylight once we leave work, you know? The sun is now, I saw a tweet yesterday.
Is it below 8 o'clock?
Before it, yeah. So we're losing some daylight, and I just don't have the time. So, I mean, I'll pay you good.
No, I'm not doing it.
I'll keep you refreshed.
Because here's the deal. I'm positive that I'm going to have to mow again by the time, like, the weekend is over.
You can use my mower. Just come on over.
No.
Use my equipment.
I don't like to mow that well. Plus, football starts tonight, so that's the main reason why I got it done last night, so I can be sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
I'll be alone this weekend as Kara and Wyatt are taking a trip.
Uh-oh.
And so...
Oh, that's dangerous, on the opening weekend of football.
I'm probably going to have to change the couch cushions around a little bit so I don't just rub or, like, crush the one that's closest to the TV.
Oh, man. Aren't you glad I sent you that PDF of a schedule of all the games on Saturday?
Absolutely,
you print,
man,
that sucker off and just have it right there on your table. Yeah, okay, what's next?
Right there on the side table.
Yeah, well, this game's boring. What else is happening?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's going to be fun. Yeah, so you're not – no plans to go any rodeo activities?
No.
The parade?
No. Let me ask you this. We don't have to, do we?
No.
Okay, no.
No.
There you go. No.
Okay.
Unless we're supposed to be somewhere that I didn't
know about.
I'm
really glad the rodeo is early.
I'm just not going to go by myself.
Well, okay.
Just not going to.
Yeah, I get it. Kids out of town and wife's out of town.
Yeah, Wyatt likes to go. When we
My
go
family,
sometimes.
Whatever, however, are in town, so we're going to go.
What night?
To the parade. To the parade, oh, Saturday
parade.
Morning. But I was going to say, I'm glad that the OU game's finally not 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, that's been a thing lately where the, used to be when the parade was at 2 o'clock, it seemed like those games were always at 2:30.
Yeah.
And then when the parade moved to 10, for obvious reasons, not as hot, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody out of there and ready for the rodeo. Yeah, it seemed like every game was 11 o'clock.
Yeah, now it's going to work out just fine.
Let's make sure they didn't switch the parade back to 2.
No, I made sure. And to answer your first question, we're going Sunday night. We always go on Sunday night.
Last night.
Yeah.
Winning night.
Yeah.
The short go.
Yeah.
I know all the buzzed words.
Good for you.
I watch the NFR.
It's the one time of year I wear my cowboy boots.
You have some?
Yes, sir.
I'm interested in that.
Yes, sir.
What kind?
I don't know.
No, I mean,
I'm
what
not
are
a cowboy. I'm not.
Are they like alligator skin or something crazy that?
No, I doubt that. I'd have to look at the tag. I just know they still fit me and I wear them.
I'll be honest with you. I just don't see it. Cowboy boots and Jared.
Yeah. I even have a cowboy hat. I never wear it, though.
Roach killers. There you go. That's what I was thinking, too. I didn't want to offend any of the roaches out there.
No, it's a good time. This is one of my favorite weekends. For obvious reasons, because of college football. But I always enjoy the rodeo here in town.
Oh, it's a great weekend.
Town's always, there's always something happening.
There's a buzz.
There's sales everywhere. Everybody has a sale going on.
Oh, listen,
I think this year the weather's not going to be scorching hot.
Mm-hmm. I'm just being all tough acting just because I'm alone. If I had folks here in town, I'm sure we would be headed out to the rodeo, the parade guaranteed.
I mean, it's one of the best rodeos in the region, so it brings a lot of people in town.
100%.
It's always fun.
Did y'all see the Edwin Diaz bullpen entrance?
No. What is that? What happened there?
Okay, so it's the Mets closer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a guy named Timmy Trumpets that's in the stands, Met fan.
Okay.
And so he plays the horn when he comes. I guess I don't know if he recorded it, but that's what he came into.
Okay.
Last night.
The text line, I love it. The comparison here to Kenny Powers. Is this what we're thinking? Is it?
Yeah, I mean,
when he was down south,
like,
and that,
what in the world?
Yeah. So let me get this straight. He plays it. It says it was played live with his trumpet. Do they mic him up?
Timmy Trumpets. I don't know.
Do they mic him up in the stadium?
I saw the headline to it. Here it is. I saw the video. Let's find out. Hang on.
I gotta look this up. Yeah.
Ooh, is this a good idea with In City Field?
Is it a raw video?
Yes.
Oh, be careful there.
Oh, no. Yeah, so he came for
chills,
the series.
Aaron. Chills.
In the last game, he played it live.
Chills.
Do it live.
I love it. That is what sports is about. I love it. That is cool. That gave me chills. Like, it was the first time when I was a kid and I watched Major League and they played Wild Thing when he came out in that key moment. That was awesome. We need more of that in sports.
What was it in Major League 2 that Parkman said something about? Same dead arm, different haircut, same dead arm or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to blow him away.
That is cool. That gave me chills. Love it.
How would you like to be Timmy Trumpet?
I smell a record deal coming up. Isn't that how it works? First you go viral, and then you sign some kind of a deal. I bet that's going to be – he's going to make a fortune off of, like, ringtone sales off of Mets fans. Right?
Yeah, pretty awesome.
I love it. I love it. That was cool. What would your intro music be? That's... Be original here. Can't use something like Metallica or something.
Why not?
Well, and then you go, like Inner Sandman? Come on.
Yeah, I feel like that one's already taken.
Yeah, it feels like that's been used quite a bit. Putting you on the spot here, aren't I?
That's an interesting question.
That's a good question, yeah.
It feels like all the answers are pretty cliche. I don't know. What would yours be?
Again,
what would your walk-up song be? You know what mine would be?
What's that?
Because it's kind of my karaoke song. Well, it is. It's the only karaoke song I ever do. It would be Ice Ice Baby.
I love it. You'd be known as the Iceman.
That's already taken, Jared.
I love it. I don't know.
That's definitely what it would be. Dun 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 dun.
Would that pump you up as you trot from the bullpen all the way to the mound and hearing that song?
It would probably have
that get you in the zone.
It would take my mind off pitching, because I would be like singing the words to myself as I was
calming me down a little bit.
Yeah,
I could see that
kind of a zen moment.
I can see that. Oh, I gotta think about mine. It'd probably be something. I mean, it'd have to be rock, right? Maybe this song is way overused in sports, but the White Stripes song.
I thought of that one too. That's what I'm saying. Everything's such a cliche.
It's way overused.
We're going to do Back in Black or Crazy Train.
Yeah, it's way overused. I have a playlist of rock music. I call it pump rock.
I know it would be one for you. We will rock you.
Oh, I got it.
What?
Cue this up if you can. It's there's no bad words. Find it on YouTube or something. You might have to play through an ad.
Oh.
It's a song by Volbeat. It's called...
I'm sorry, what?
Volbeat. You never heard of Volbeat?
No.
Oh, Aaron.
No.
I need some help on the text line. Aaron has not
Who?
Heard of Volbeat.
Oh, great walk-up song. You're already getting love for it.
And it's not the one you think of, Bill. It's not the one you think of. And the song is...
V-O-L-B-E-A-T?
V-O-L-B-E-A-T.
What's it called?
The song is called, and get this, this is perfect for a closer, Seal the Deal. Seal, right? That's what a closer does. Sealing the deal. And this thing is awesome, awesome rock song. So if you find that, then that's the song I think I would use in some form or fashion. The lyrics are awesome. It's like, seal the deal and let's boogie.
Okay, you promise this is...
It's clean. I promise clean. You it's clean. Because it would say explicit.
Well, this is clean because this is...
An ad.
An ad for...
Thanks, YouTube.
An ad for
like Tide?
No, it's actually people cutting up Fruits and vegetables.
Okay. Still there, huh?
This is the video.
That can't be it. Oh, it's probably the music video, and there's... Yeah. If you hear that song, you know 8th is coming in to seal the deal. You've never heard of Volbeat.
I think you can only do like 28 seconds.
You've never... Yeah, then we... Our podcast will get flagged.
Yeah.
You've never heard of Volbeat. That's amazing.
No, I have not.
Okay. We're going to...
Do you have Volbeat on over there? What's going on?
It's bleeding through.
Okay. Huh.
Voodoo Child. It's a good suggestion. Makes you think of... You hear that song, Hollywood Hogan's coming down the ramp.
Oh, that's a very good one.
Right.
No doubt about it. What would be your walk-up song?
Who thought
this is where we would go?
This is a great topic. Oh, man, that's a great topic.
225-9698, what would be your walk-up song?
Yeah, I agree. They sent the link to the song. Okay.
Yes, thanks.
Bill. Thank
225-9698. All right, so let's hit the conference realignment. See, there you go. Skinny should be Vanilla Ice Ice Baby. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
The song is very reflective of the person that your inner person.
Yeah, here's one. Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah. Yeah, that first riff, man. You know it's on, yeah.
See, or you know what? I mean, I guess we could just go here. The beginning of Welcome to the Jungle versus the beginning of Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
Welcome to the Jungle.
See, I'm the other way.
Because of what the song's about compared to what the other song's about.
I didn't ask that question.
Just what it sounds like.
I ask you what you like as far as just the opening parts of those songs, the opening riff. Oh, yeah. Cade would definitely. This is right. Boomer Sooner. He changed his poor son's walk up to that.
Are you serious?
A couple of summers ago, yeah. It was a cool reaction because Rhett had no idea. And all of a sudden it started playing. He was looking around like, what? All right. And I think he got a hit. So, hey, there you go. Worked perfect.
Stick with it.
Okay. Oh, man. This is getting everybody. Look at the.
I'm telling you, this is great. Great topic.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm not going to know. I probably would if I heard it. 1,000-foot crutch. I don't know. We're going to have to YouTube a bunch of this. Oh, here you go. AC/DC. Now you're messing with an SOB.
There you go.
We got one. Money. Yeah, that's going to Scotty G. That's going to be his intro music tomorrow. That was his walk-up.
By Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's good. It's very, very good.
That's a good one. That's a good idea.
All right.
That's good stuff.
Who else has got one? 225-9698. What's your walk-up song? Does it depend on what you're walking up for?
I would say so.
Like walking up to hit or like walking into a meeting?
Well, in this case, we were talking about if you're a closer. So what would you use? But I could see it. Yeah. Does it change if you're for a hit, if you're going up the bat or if you're going to go out there to relieve? I don't know.
Always be closing. ABC. Always be closing.
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
Anything Lil Wayne. I mean, it's all over the map. It is all over the map. You know, one time when J-Mac was playing at Seward and Roper was playing at Hutch, they played each other.
Oh, yeah?
And Derek was hurt. Before he went to Mizzou. So he was up. I happened to be there. I can't remember. I think maybe Nathan was with me. Anyhow, we were there watching this. But we ended up being the ones that got to do that, running the scoreboard and playing the walk-up music.
Oh, that's fun.
So that was a lot of, you know.
That's fun. I would think I'd keep Miley Cyrus off my
playlist.
See,
I love that. Party in the U.S. That's a fun song.
Somebody for the Rangers a couple years ago had Baby Shark.
Oh, no.
because he just had a kid and his kid liked the song so much, and so he wanted to play it so his kid would hear it, and so I get the and it inspired him to go up to bat. So it was kind of a cool story. I love that Wolf Mother song, by the way. The Joker and the Thief. They also have another one, Woman, which is really cool. It just sounds. We talked about how it sounds.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
When Alan's on the escalator in The Hangover.
Yeah. Cool song. Okay, when you get back on track.
What's wrong with this?
We could talk about walk-up music and intro music all hour long.
What would be like...
He doesn't like the classic rock from the text line. Off the wall stuff is better than the old man stuff.
What would be like the? Let's go the other way. Like what would if somebody was like what we were doing that series, essentially trying to throw the other team off with a crappy song. So what would be one like if you heard it, you're like, oh really?
Anything Nickelback? Because they're just so ripped on.
What a hater. Oh, no.
Now, for the record, I don't mind Nickelback, but it just seems like the majority does not like Nickelback.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think that just went
with the flow. Was this like, the first?
Somebody cool said it, and everyone else just kind of jumped on that.
Was the canceling of Nickelback and Creed the first cancel culture move?
Probably.
In this country.
I remember when Creed's first album came out, the very first one, it was, the street cred that thing had, everybody talked about it and had to have it. You had to have that album spinning in your car or truck. You had to have it.
This is how you remind me, Nickelback?
Yeah.
The original tune?
Yeah.
If you were in college when I was, everybody, and I do mean everybody, loved that song.
Another song by Nickelback, Burn It to the Ground. That's a really, really cool. I mean, I'm looking at my punk rock playlist, but that's a fun one. And the thing about Chad Kroeger is he doesn't get enough credit. He wrote if you look it up, he has written every Nickelback song. And he's also written a lot of songs for other bands. He doesn't get a lot of credit for being a musician. They just say he follows a formula and every Nickelback song sounds the same. Well, I beg to differ.
I don't think that's true either.
No, I don't. So,
here you go.
I do like punk rock. I'm not shy about that. Someone asked me if we pump or punk rock. I like punk rock. I like Blink 182. Kind of one of the.
What is Limp Bizkit?
Limp Bizkit is rock rap.
I mean, they're not anything anymore, but.
Well, they played Lollapalooza a couple years ago.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm. They can still play those early songs that they put out.
I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton might throw things off a bit. I agree with that one. I was thinking when I asked that, I was thinking of Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead O'Connor. Oh, man. See, there we go.
The hate for Nickelback is strong. There we go.
You just mentioned Nickelback, and then the hate just flows. Same thing about Creed. You just
I know Limp
Bizkit.
What are you talking about?
And by the way, Creed's last album as a quartet, which came out about 10 years ago, not a bad album. But Scott Stapp just got it. He just can't keep it together. But the songs, that was not a bad album.
Ouch. Writing Nickelback songs is like being the prettiest Denny's waitress.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's a shot. That's a shot to our friends in Sayre.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. I think we need to talk about OSU football.
I don't know. This has been pretty fun. What else you got? It's like everybody's comedians.
Text line is a-blazing.
What is this, Tradio? All right. I guess we'll talk about OSU next.
I mean, they do play tonight.
I wonder what their walk out song is.
Depends how the game goes, I guess. It's always that Toby Keith song, right?
Well, oh, man. Walk-up songs in video games. That get people fired up, too.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't go down that route.
What was your favorite video game?
Like when I was a kid?
Or ever.
Ever? GoldenEye.
What's GoldenEye? James Bond?
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, Jared. I quit playing video games when I was, like, in college.
Well, this came out way before you were in college, brother. This was on
like
the old Nintendo 64, like 1998, 97, 98 range. Well, that's funny. Out on the text line. But, no, GoldenEye. That's still, and I just wish they'd reissue it. Because you can't play it anymore. You can't, unless you have that original, and I don't. There. Anyways. OSU tonight, Central Michigan. Revenge. Is that the theme tonight? Revenge?
Surely not.
Gundy hasn't shied away from it. He's acknowledged the game. What was that? Oh, 16? When was that?
It's been a while back.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
I can tell you it's been, yeah, 16 at the earliest because I was watching it inside the old country club building that was still there.
Yeah. I remember getting back to the house from, I think, the parade and catch basically the second half. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to be fine here. And then the infamous play that shouldn't happen happened. The untimed down for Central Michigan and the Hail Mary, the lateral, and the run for the pile, run for the end zone. There was crazy start to the season that year for OSU. Now Central Michigan returns, and you know those kids. But it feels like Gundy's not shying away from it. He's acknowledged it more than once. Do you think he's using that in the locker room?
I mean, you ought to say, hey, listen.
Any means.
If any of you guys care a lick about me, this is a loss that shouldn't be on my record. Go win this one for me. I guess. I mean, I don't. You know who threw that pass?
For Central Michigan?
Yeah.
No. Who was it?
Cooper Rush.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Cooper Rush. I don't think it has any bearing other than some locker room speech tonight from Mike Gundy. But questions about this game. What do you want to see from Oklahoma State? Oh, Contra. That's a great video game.
Mm-hmm.
Left, right, A, B, select, start, whatever that was. up, down, left, right, left, right. Yes. Oh, boy, the OU fans are out on force.
They are. These with the intro music or walk-off music. That's funny.
What do you want to see?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I want to see a consistent offense that doesn't get too much deep into the playbook. So basically like a vanilla offense with success. You don't want to show too much, and you shouldn't have to against a team that you should beat. Protecting the football, Sanders continued, when he's good, he protects the football, doesn't turn it over. And on defense, I want to see the OSU middle and the linebackers mainly versus their running back. The running back's pretty good. Nichols,
yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
And that's going to be a challenge for him when you got some turnover on defense right there. That's been the question for OSU's defense, is that middle and the linebacker play. So I want to see that, and are they up to the challenge? So it's just about three, four things I'm looking for.
Yeah, you wrote a lot on this exact same. I said offense dominate from the start, and then defense show improvement throughout. I think there's going to be some growing pains for the defense. There has to be with, if you don't realize what you lost at the linebacker spot, look at what happened yesterday. Both those guys, Malcolm Rodriguez is going to be the starting linebacker at Detroit, and Devin Harper made the Cowboys. So there hasn't been a lot of times in recent memory that Oklahoma State's had two NFL-caliber linebackers on the same defense.
Yeah.
And so that's not going to be something that's easy to replace. So I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle early, but the offense can't. To me, offense is ready to go with the quarterback coming back. This is the all-Big 12 quarterback. Running backs, we'll see. I mean, I think a lot of what happened last year with Jaylen Warren coming out of nowhere really alleviates a lot of the worry there to me. they'll find somebody that's serviceable, if not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense, you know, up the middle of that defense with the linebackers, the safeties, people have a lot of trust in the corners because they've seen them, I guess, with Black and Muhammad. Okay, let's find out if they can really play the whole time. So I think that's where this could be a little bit of a struggle early defensively, but just watch them get better. What do you think is successful in your mind?
After tonight?
Yeah.
What would we do? Well, kind of what I just said. If you can have like a vanilla offense and still move the football and score at will, you know, then you did, you know, that means the X's and O's are working, the hat on hats are working, then you don't have to dive too much. And kind of like what we saw last Friday, Elk City and Altus. We didn't see Coach Maynard dive too much into his playbook, and they were successful with it. He was very patient, and it turned into a good product. I think the same thing could be said about OSU with their offense. You know, it's fun to see those flashy plays and on-the-edge trick plays, but you don't want to see it because it's 14-7 late in the third quarter and you're trying to make something happen. And then just on the other side, just overall, just a solid defensive effort. Just solid. Just something you could walk away and go, okay, we knew there would be growing pains, but they're going to be okay. So just a solid defensive effort, maybe force a turnover or two.
So I said plus 35 offensively and less than 24 defensively.
What does that mean?
Score more than 35 and don't give up less than 24.
Okay.
38-21 to me is successful. Something like that.
Okay. You
know, or even more on the offensive side. Because to me, that if you score in the 40s, then that means you've been pretty good the entire time. More than likely. I mean, there's scenarios where that's not the case, but more than likely, you've been consistently good on offense the entire game. And then if you give up less than 24, it means you've at least shut them out one quarter. You have to. So, and I would prefer if that was as the game went along. I think it more successful. I mean, that's maybe not true. If you start out being great, then it surprises everybody. What's one thing that'll make you feel more positive coming out of this game about OSU season if you see X?
Well, if the new defensive coordinator is not too proud and can make adjustments as needed, that's what we saw last year when there's some cracks in the defense, there was adjustments made, and they fixed it, in-game adjustments. So I think there will be troubles against Lou Nichols in the running game. Let's see how the defense can adjust as the game goes on, as they see if they can figure out how to slow him down or even stop him. And that will give me more of a positive feeling like, okay, they're willing to make adjustments and move forward. You know, so that tells me it's a mature defense that can get better as the season goes on. And I want to see some playmakers on offense outside of Sanders emerge. You know, who's a guy we can go? You know, we kind of talked about this yesterday. Who's a guy that can go, that's the guy I'm keeping an eye on. He looked great against Central Michigan. Or that guy can run the ball. He might step up and be RB1. So I just want to see some playmakers outside of Sanders emerge.
Yeah, I'm on the defense. Just did the defense look the part? Even if there's mistakes, they're coachable, fixable mistakes, if that makes sense. You know, if Central Michigan can just set up behind an offensive line that ought to be less than what OSU puts out there on the defensive line, and hold the ball for 5, 6, 7 minutes, a la what we saw a lot of teams do to the Sooners last year. You know, think about Nebraska, and you know, the very first drive of the game was 9 or 10 minutes, just 3rd and 3, can't get off the field. You know, then all of a sudden 3rd and 7, oh, it's 4th and 1, oh, they go for it and get it. Defense not being able to get off the field. So that's what I want to see, the defense be able, even if there are some busts, to give up some big plays or a couple drives, but still look the part of being able to be corrected moving forward. What's something that'll scare you and you'll feel more negative about the rest of the OSU season if it happens tonight?
Simple. Turnovers.
Me too. That's the obvious answer to me. Not turnovers, Spencer Sanders turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Because I think that Oklahoma State's offense is going to have to weather the early storm as the defense figures out what Derek Mason wants from them. New guys in positions they haven't been. You mentioned the way that they were able to adjust last year. A humongous part of that was they had dudes that were 21, 22, 23 years old back there.
Yeah.
You give Jim Knowles credit for sure, but he's not able to do a lot of the stuff that he was able to do last year without having those guys playing defense for him. I think that's an underrated part of what happened up there last year, was just the football IQ and the intelligence and the maturity and the experience that a lot of those guys on defense had. And so for me, yeah, Sanders making mistakes is a bad sign, because he needs to be the one that's the mature, experienced playmaker to start this season, because he's got the weapons on the outside with the receivers. Who will it be? I'm interested to see who might step up, and I think it could be a different guy in a lot of different games. I don't think they're going to have that one, you know, Tay Martin kind of emerged as the go-to guy a year ago. They might have somebody a little bit like, but I don't think it'll be as dependent, because I think they have more guys with ability.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys got their feet wet with Jaden Bray and the Greens, and we'll see about Shetron. And then obviously both Presleys. You mentioned Brennan yesterday. So, but it all, I mean, Oklahoma State can win this game 49-2. But if Sanders fumbles it a couple times and throws a pick, you're still not going to feel very good about that, because
all if it's 49-2 because he got sacked or it's his mistake that caused a safety, then that's the thing that's going to
– it will.
Everyone's going to look at.
Because you'll just be sitting there thinking, okay, got away with it against Central Michigan. We've seen for the last 3 years, can't get away with it against the better teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's an easy answer. The one thing that would make you feel more negative. I don't think there's a whole bunch else, because to me, the defense has the possibility of struggling with the new coordinator, but some different guys in key spots, especially up the middle of the defense, with the linebackers, the safeties. We've seen the corners. We'll see how good they can play in a little bit different role. So I don't think that's going to make you feel horrible if they give up some points, because I think you expect it. But the one doomsday that, and when I think about that, I don't think about losing the game tonight. I'm just talking about for the rest of the season and being a real contender to be in Arlington and play for that Big 12 title, is the bugaboo that we've seen from Spencer Sanders for years now, and that's the turnover bug.
Right.
All in all, what do you think is going to happen tonight? Give me a score for the Pokes and Central Michigan.
I think, I was kind of leaning, because you kind of alluded to a score. I think there'll be a slow start, then they'll finish going downhill. I think, but I don't think they'll cover. What is it? I just looked it up, 21.5 right now. I think it's like a 38-20 final.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking
Central Michigan punching something in late.
I guess I do have them covering, because I was thinking like 42-17. 42-21, though, I could see that easily, and that wouldn't be with the hook out there. But I think the offense is going to start great. I just feel like the disrespect around the country for Spencer Sanders himself. Now, I'm also thinking that he's going to be the mature, older, experienced player, because I think this could go the wrong way too, in him, you know, using that, the aggression, enforcing things to try to show everybody, hey, hello, I'm the All-Big 12 quarterback, I'm still here. And does that lead to mistakes early? I don't think it will, though. I think Oklahoma State will come out firing. Defensively, there will be some growing pains, but I think by the time it's over, you think, those guys have a chance to be pretty good. And the offense is going to be really good as long as they can take care of the football, and they did tonight, and there you go. Put up 40-something and win the game pretty handily. I'll say like 42-17 or something like that. The game opposite of Oklahoma State and Central Michigan is the backyard brawl. Pitt and West Virginia. West Virginia goes to Pitt. This is an interesting game to me for a lot of reasons. One, this rivalry back, I don't think they played since like 2008, 11 seasons. Both sides with transfer quarterbacks who have shown flashes of being very, very good in their college careers. West Virginia, I don't think, has near the preseason expectations of what Pitt does, obviously, with rankings and such. But if JT Daniels can be what people thought he was going to be down at Georgia, I do think with those three home games in the Big 12, West Virginia hosts Baylor, Oklahoma, and Kansas State. If JT Daniels can show that he can be a good quarterback for Neil Brown up there in Morgantown, then I think all of a sudden you start looking at schedules in the Big 12 going, that just got scarier.
Mm. Yeah, I don't care what kind of West Virginia team it is. Going to Morgantown is never fun. It's never easy. So, yeah, if he shows up tonight, that gets a lot of people's attention. Sure.
There's a pretty cool story. If you don't know much about this rivalry, there's a cool story on ESPN's front page. Dave Wannstedt was the coach back in 2007 when the 4-7 Pitt Panthers went into number two or number one, maybe even at that time, West Virginia, and beat them 13-9 to keep them out of the BCS title game, which I promise you they were number two because Ohio State was undefeated number one. And I promise you they'd have beat the Buckeyes, beat the doors off of them. The way that LSU was able to, two-loss LSU was able to dominate Ohio State in that game. And, by the way, West Virginia put a pop knot on the Sooners' head a couple weeks later. But it talks about how as soon as you pull, of course, that was in Morgantown, this is going to be the other way. But you pull, the bus was totally quiet, and all of a sudden you start hearing just stuff hitting it, you know, beer cans and bottles and the nastiness of what this rivalry was. And you brought it up yesterday. You wonder if that's still the case after all these years of not playing, if there's still that nastiness to this thing.
That's my big question, and that's the key word. Is it still nasty? That you don't think it does? It does change how the game is played on the field when there's that drive to want to beat your opponent when it's your rival. Just look at the game, Ohio State, Michigan. Look at OU, Texas. You just see that extra. And that's why rivalry games like this are fun. But is it still there? I'm anxious to see if it is. And it usually starts when stuff like that, you know, when buses are coming into the Cotton Bowl, you hear those stories and coming down the tunnel. And you know, it's a perfect example right there with the beer bottles hitting the side of the bus. And, you know, players use that as fuel and it drives them. You know, to go put in a little extra gear there. So I hope it is. I hope there is still that nastiness there. That'd be a great way to start the football season to see a rivalry like this. You know, maybe a couple flags for a little extra push or extra tug at the face mask or something. I don't wish injury on anybody, but you know what I mean. You know, that football, you know, you want to see that nastiness on the field. That grittiness two rivals.
To your point, in that game in 07, Shady McCoy was the running back for Pitt. And on the very first play, he gained 12, and there was unsportsmanlike conducts on each side between D-line and O-line for getting after it after the whistle and all that. And yeah. Wannstedt said he was over there on crutches with a blown-out Achilles. And he said, okay, the boys are here to fight.
Yeah,
we've got a chance because the guys understand what is going to be needed tonight in this place in this atmosphere. So,
is this a make or break game for Neil Brown, or is that too early to say?
I think it's too early, but you would like it could be a feather in his cap, though.
Oh yeah,
it could definitely be a feather in his cap. I mean, I don't think this is a game later on in the year. You know, it's a little bit like Scott Frost in some ways, except for this is not a conference game, where both of those coaches, even a loss, still have plenty of time to right the ship and turn it around. But sure, and you lose this game that hasn't been played in that long to your rival, yeah, all of a sudden those whispers are going to get louder. That seed is going to get cranked up a little bit higher. You have a chance to come back from it. But no doubt, it won't get things started off well, especially if Pitt blows them out. Steel mills versus coal mines. The millers versus the miners. the backyard brawl. It ought to be fun.
Yes.
Hopefully what happens is Oklahoma State can kick Central Michigan into the teeth early and often. And you would be able to kind of hang out and watch both of those.
Right.
It's going to be fun. Starting tonight. Dirt off your shoulders. There's another walk-up song.
Not familiar.
Jay-Z and Linkin Park.
Oh, okay.
Question on the text line: with conference realignment, will West Virginia join the ACC? I say no. One thing, culturally, can you imagine the coonskin caps of West Virginia going to Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Miami? Doesn't seem to fit. And here's another thing about that. How secure is the ACC's position in all this?
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know if you're leaving a better situation with for what we've learned starting yesterday morning about where this not only the conference realignment but also the TV deals. I don't know if West Virginia isn't already in a better spot in the Big 12 than what they would be moving to in the ACC as far as a secure future. So I would have a hard time seeing that happening.
Yeah.
At least right now with the way the current landscape feels. I mean, report last night from Brett McMurphy that Washington had met with the Big Ten. Apparently it's Washington, Oregon, Stanford. Some say Cal is in that. Some say they're not. And then Notre Dame to get to 20. Is what the Big Ten is eyeing. That makes more sense than Cal also for 21. Then that forces you with three. Maybe that forces you to take Virginia, North Carolina, and somebody else out of the ACC to get to 24. Maybe that's what the other side of that looks like. But as far as West Virginia, I think they're for sure in a better spot to stay put. And if they were to move, I think they fit in the SEC way better than they fit in the ACC just culturally.
Right.
The way that fan base is.
Yeah, yeah. And if they had a choice, you know they go SEC for the money. But, yeah, but the Big 12 right now, it just seems with they're being proactive with their moving forward with the TV deal or talking about it. And we're not hearing anything from the ACC, which – I don't know if that's a good or bad sign.
Well, they can't do anything. What are they going to do?
Yeah, you can't. So they're happy where they're at. And I think once this all shakes down, they'll still be in the Big 12.
I mean, essentially, the only choices you have.
We need to stop thinking about this in geography terms.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people think, oh, well, they're better suited over there on the East Coast and they need to be in that conference. That has been thrown out the window. I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, I think it's more of a – I think moving forward – it's more of how do you fit as an institution culturally and like-minded thinking is more what these guys are looking for. And, of course, money and being able to generate eyeballs on TVs.
Right, right.
Jared, there have been two seasons in the history of Major League Baseball where the same guy has hit 30 home runs and struck out 100 batters. Can you name who's done that?
I will go with, obviously, Ohtani.
Okay.
And Babe Ruth.
You got the right answer, but you didn't need to add Babe Ruth. Shohei Ohtani is the only person to ever do it.
Only guy who's ever done it.
He's
okay.
Got both seasons as of last night with his 30th bomb.
On a crappy team.
Boy, it's hard, though. It is hard to do something that has never, ever been done in the history of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And to do it in back-to-back seasons. Listen, Aaron Judge is going to be the MVP, and he probably should for all the obvious reasons. 51 bombs. He could set the American League and, to me, the Major League all-time home run record in a season with 11 more. But what Ohtani is doing is just off the charts. Off the charts.
It's amazing. It's amazing and a shame at the same time that he's doing it for a team that is just not good. It's like they're cursed. And so that always brings up the question of, will he be traded? Will he move on, demand a trade even, and get on a contender team, a team that contends? Because I want to see him in the playoffs, just like Mike Trout. We want to see these guys that are doing these special things in October.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the saddest part about Mike Trout's career. And Ohtani's going right down the same path with him. So he's played in, what, 3 playoff games in his career, Mike Trout?
I would even say that's a little high.
I think it's 3.
Just 3? It's a good trivia question. Yeah, they both need to move on from Anaheim.
Yeah, 3.
As fast as possible.
Mike Trout hit .083. He had a hit, a home run, an RBI, scored a run in 3 games in his postseason career.
But it is amazing seeing history right in front of our eyes. I want to see it when it really counts in October.
Did you see the little blurb on, I think it was Sunday? Or maybe Monday the 20th. Let's see. What's today, the 1st? It may have been Monday the 29th. When Pujols hit his 694th home run.
I saw the news. What about it?
So, like, on August 29th, 2001, Serena Williams won a match in the U.S. Open. Albert Pujols hit a home run. It was like Dante Bichette, Craig Biggio, and Vladimir Guerrero all got a hit. All that happened on the same day. And then on August 29th, 2022, Serena won a match in the U.S. Open. Pujols hit a home run. Biggio, Bichette, and Guerrero's kids all got a hit in a game in the major leagues. Man, I would love to see Albert get to 700 before the end of this year, because that would be the perfect way. The Cardinals are going to make the playoffs, so he'll get chances to swing in the postseason. But, man, what a way to kind of be able to walk away from it, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of having to come back next year and try to hit a couple of home runs, and then who knows what happens after that once you get to that magical 700 number. You know, maybe he's got enough left in the tank to pass Babe at 714. I don't know. But I think it would be a lot better bookend to his career if he could hit number 700 before this regular season's over.
Yeah, you don't want to see – you want to celebrate at the – yeah, I'm with you. You don't want to put him out there next year and try to chase something. And it could, one, be detrimental to the team, and two, just kind of sad. Just to see an old man out there, yeah. and just, but I mean, I say old man very loosely, because he is still swinging. I mean, he still has the power, obviously, but he, like, man, the only reason he's out there is just to get this record. And what if he got it before, I don't know, the midway point All-Star break? Does he retire in the middle of the year?
Right.
You know, I'd like to see it, you know, put a feather in the cap, put a cherry on top, get it this year.
Go out in the playoffs as you should.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that would be the storybook finish to it.
Come out of the dugout.
Hit 6 more.
Salute the fans and pose for your statue, you know.
Man, I mean, and he has been on a tear unlike anybody his age of all time since July. I mean, he's got like the highest OPS. He has been on an absolute romp.
Right.
So it's not like he would come back and not be able to hit. You know what I'm saying? But it would be a lot better ending if he could do it before the regular season
right. Is
over.
Yep. Pretty cool story, though.
Oh, it's
didn't expect anything out of him this year other than just retire a Cardinal. That's all I expected.
It felt like a farewell tour type season for him, and it kind of started that way. But then all of a sudden, July came around, and he just started mashing the baseball like he was 25 again.
Yeah.
Which, who knows what year that was, but it's been a while back.
It's been a bit. Yeah.
So, no, it's very cool. 3 very, very cool stories going on right now, individually, in the Major League Baseball, with Judge at 51, Ohtani and then Pujols.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, big game today. Big Elk TV, the softball boosters, Elk City at Tuttle, 5 o'clock. See if the Elkettes can wrestle the district lead away from the Lady Tigers. Everybody have a wonderful Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.